Morning, everyone. Lovely day. It was. Will the nerves ever go? I don't think so. There's a rhyme to start with. We depend on the Lord, don't we? In everything that we do, when we open our mouths, our thoughts, everything depends on Him. He's our sustenance, nutrition. In Him is everything. Dave has been going through Colossians, and I've been really blessed. And one verse in particular has got my mind set on something, my thoughts. Don't turn there. I'm just going to quickly read this verse. I'm going to go somewhere else. It's in Colossians 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And this is the verse. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. This verse has, since Dave was sharing it kind of impacted me. Something goes in and settles. Then the Lord uses your faculties, whatever brain you have. If you're highly intelligent, He can use that. If you're a simple soul, He can use that with His Spirit. And He can set you on a little path of thoughts. And my thoughts went to the Lord, where He is, seated with the Father. So my journey to work, I was thinking about where Christ is with the Father. These verses don't give us liberty to walk into lampposts. They don't give us liberty to lose concentration whilst driving the car. Or maybe if you're in conversation with someone and you're chatting to them and then you just start to drift off. And I don't know if you, it may be just me, sometimes you can be, and their eyes are going somewhere else. And it doesn't make us aloof. But there is something that must determine in our hearts that we've even sung things this morning, that we want to see Christ. And the other day I talked about Moses and that he turned aside to see God. And something that I didn't mention, which is probably the most key point of that, was what do you get when you turn aside? And I want to turn you to Ephesians, because this is an incredible letter. And really, it just gives us a huge spiritual bank account. That's how it's described. And if we can turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to try and attempt to bring out some of the things that we have. And it's a word that I think Paul used, I think, about 200 times I read, but in Christ, two words. In Christ, and we hear it preached about, spoken about, and I want to try and this morning just come up with some of the things that it says, what we have in Christ. Why do I like Ephesians? Something that really spoke to me that when I was reading through it, and I've read through it and again and again, I've listened to it on my CD on the way to work, let it just go in, sink. One of the things that it doesn't do is address something so specific, a problem. It's a letter that actually it's Paul kind of almost doing a letter of what the instruction to the church. And it's really blessed me that it doesn't. I know the other letters, they'll come in with this false teaching and there's different problems within the church. Ephesians, it just, how do I say it, but it's almost our statement of what we believe. What Christ has done through the Father in us. And I've struggled since setting my mind on Christ with working. The day-to-day of work. Because in my job, my boss at the moment is pushing the real efficiency thing. You know, he's printing out documents. He's saying we need to become more efficient here. Spending a bit less time on that and less time on that. And all I can think about is I'm adopted. I'm chosen. And he's saying, yeah, we need to push these things through of being a bit more efficient. How can we change these? And I'm thinking, grace. Citizenship. Life. Grace. It's so very hard that I know I have to work, and I hope that when he sees me, I'm not looking into the clouds thinking, Mark, where are you? Where are you? But in actual fact, if you know what the account is that you have, if you're a believer this morning, what you have in Christ, it will affect how you work, how you react to people, how you react to criticism. It's wonderful what we have in Christ. I've always heard the words in Christ, but what's really blessed me is actually going into the detail of finding out what actually it is. Let me just give you a list. Here's some contents. Well, can I say, here's your bank account. If you believe, this is a bank account. We don't like to talk about money and bank accounts very much. But listen to this. Adoption. Acceptance. Redemption. Forgiveness. Wisdom. Inheritance. The seal of the Holy Spirit. Life. Grace. Citizenship. In short, every spiritual blessing. It's remarkable, isn't it? And something that I was reading about those faithful in the Lord in Ephesus was that they, in some ways, were wealthy beyond their imagination and thought, but yeah, they were living as beggars. They didn't know the riches that they had in Christ. Wonderful. And if I can be bold this morning, I would like to say, do you know what you have in Christ? The list that I've just read out, I think will diffuse any arguments that you have, any bitterness that you may have, any thoughts of, this is how church should be, this is what we should do, this is how it should act, and this list totally dwarfs any of our own perceptions of the way things should be. I'm convinced of it. Wonderful Lord, what we have in Christ takes away any of our grumblings. Any gossip that is out there, it will diffuse it when you know what you've got in Christ. Here's the contrasts. This is what the world offers us. On adoption, it offers rejection. On acceptance, it offers refusal. Grace, it offers punishment. Forgiveness, it offers unforgiveness. And when I was thinking about unforgiveness, one thing it really leads to is bitterness. Be very careful. Be very careful. That I know. For wisdom, it offers foolishness. Inheritance, it offers great debt. For life, it offers death. And citizenship, I've said a word here, I don't even know if it actually is a word. Alienship. Alienation, thank you. Roddy, brilliant. You can be my dictionary this morning. We were so far off, weren't we? But we've been brought near by the precious blood. Let's read the verses. Ephesians chapter 1. If you love the Lord and you believe in Him, this is your account. I hope you don't mind me reading them. I love reading scripture. When it's out loud, it's wonderful. It can bless. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Love's a great theme of Ephesians. Excuse me. It begins with it and it ends with it. Read through it. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption, through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, in him. In him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Every time I hear that little phrase, to the praise of his glory, I just imagine Paul as he was kind of uttering out these words, it, almost like he just got carried away with the abundance in Christ and kept on putting it in there, to the praise of his glory. Almost, I think it was, you'll have to help me here, is it Tychius who was actually writing the... Anyway, Paul may have written it himself, but I'm sure he had a hand actually writing out there. And I was just picturing Paul saying these words that the Lord had put in his heart, and then the man there writing the things down, and then Paul saying, to the praise of his glorious, you know, and I just thought, he kept on coming in with these bits all the time where he just was so overwhelmed with what he had in Christ. Unbelievable. Therefore I also have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. We've heard about the calling this morning. What are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? I could go on. Talks about power. And I think one thing that's just spoken to me recently is this thought of this incredible bank account. I recently have changed bank accounts. I know you'd all be interested in that. I brought my old bank account with me. This is a very old one. And I've had it for nearly 40 years. Gives away my age a bit. Had it when my parents set up a bank account when I was a baby. Not sure if I'm allowed to say it on computer, but it's Abbey National, which doesn't exist anymore. But just, I was thinking, it was part of my little thoughts about this bank account. I don't think it really offered too much. I've changed now to a new one. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say. Can I say what that? It may not be relevant, but it's with the NatWest. There are other banks available for. But the reason I was saying it was, I was thinking about what the world offers in their account. The complete, total contrast of what the world offers to what we have in Christ. I didn't have much in this one. I really didn't. But there is an amazing account in Christ. I've read through all the things. It's almost too much to go through in a morning and say, well, let's look in that in depth. Let's look at that in depth. But just to say the list, it makes me want to just jump for joy. It really does. Wonderful, Lord. Here's some other accounts that you may want to look into. I look these up. The instant saver. This is the world, what it gives, okay? The instant sapphire. Savings builder. The Midas gold. High rise. Gold account. Liquid gold. Cash build. Cash stash. And I'm just reading them out because I think for me, we're all gathered in this room this morning, if you believe in the Lord. There is one incredible account that's got an amazing inheritance. And this morning I want to just look into a little bit more of an inheritance. Are you still with me? Here's what we have. Here's one, adoption. Excuse me for reading this out, but I can't remember it in my little mind. This legal declaration that we are God's sons, with all the rights and privileges and duties. Isn't that amazing? Redemption. This is the sending away or banishment of our sin and debt, resulting in complete forgiveness. The Holy Spirit. This is described as both a seal showing ownership and as a guarantee pointing to future redemption. And I think I've heard it from here before, but that sign of the seal of the Holy Spirit, it's like that official document, isn't it, with a stamp on it. You know, they'd heat up, there's a bit of beeswax, and they'd seal it. And something that really spoke to me was that when it was sealed, it left this impression. And I think hundreds of years ago, I read about a priest who, on his stamp, had this wonderful picture of the cross. And as the seal, and he stamped those documents, it left that impression of the cross. Wonderful. You know, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Until the day when the Lord comes again and brings that great redemption again. He restores everything. Wonderful. Have you been stamped this morning?
Excuse me.
I hope you don't mind me just asking straight questions. And sometimes I don't expect you to say yes or no. But it is a straight question. Are you stamped this morning with the Holy Spirit? Wonderful, Lord. Just some thoughts on inheritance. Peter describes inheritance as that which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, being guarded by God's power through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm paraphrasing it. But it's undefiled, unfading. One of my favourite stories since a young boy has been the spies. Remember the 12 spies that were sent out? 10 were bad, 2 were good. I'm just checking you're all still. Two were good. Joshua and Caleb. I love the story. Because it had action, adventure. It had this mountain that Caleb claimed, wasn't it, as an inheritance? One little phrase, let me read it to you. You don't need to turn there. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance, and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he has said, these 45 years, this is Caleb, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am strong this day, as on the day that Moses sent me. Heard about strength this morning. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. You know what happened? They went into the promised land, the land of Canaan, and it spoke to me about inheritance. It spoke to me this word, holy. Caleb, holy, follow the Lord my God. And I looked into the meaning of it. What does it really mean? What can I glean out of it? And one amazing little... I love it anyway. It says this. Holy means complete. Total completeness in following the Lord. Everything. Your life laid down. Everything that Christ can do in you, it must be all laid down to him. And here's another thing. It describes this, and it says, holy, it means through and through. And I love this. It got my mind all going away of being through and through. I think we can describe some people as, or a situation as, he's through and through. Liverpool supporter. Always a through and through Everton. Always a through. He's through and through. His colours are nailed to him. Always, you know. Unfortunately, the world, I was thinking about this, that they actually will mark themselves, won't they? On the skin, put their allegiance to something on their arm. Well, these days it's everywhere. Wonderful Lord, but he wants us, the internal, the heart, the mind, spirit, to be totally, wholly the Lord's. Paul describes it, I think, as to the ends of your physical, right to the ends of your fingers, your toes, this, all of it, to follow the Lord, wholly. Are you his through and through? I have to confess, I sat down sometimes, and if you, I'm not sure if you're meant to do this, but sometimes you evaluate where you are in Christ, and you can look at the things maybe where you're failing a little bit, or I don't recommend it to do it all the time, but actually the Lord does want you just to meditate on him, and in by doing that your strength comes in. But I want to be like Caleb. When he said, give me this mountain, can I replace that by give me the Lord Jesus? More and more each day. I can't rely on 23 years ago in a tent mission when I first said, Lord, come into my life. I am absolutely fed up with the world, what it offers. I don't know if I'm making sense. Excuse me. You've heard about rivers of flowing water. Often comes out through my eyes, I think, and I... Give me this mountain. Interestingly, the other good spy was Joshua. This great military commander. He's like a type of Christ. And, I was reading about his inheritance. You know, he was the last one to get his inheritance. I think that's significant. I know he led the tribes and they went over into the promised land. Caleb came up strong as an ox, 85 years old, gives us hope, doesn't it? He said, give me this inheritance. Joshua waited. He sorted out all the tribes and they went in. And then he got his inheritance at the end. I think that speaks of humility. And he asked for a place, a city. I'm going to try and pronounce it. Timnath-Serah. Okay? You might think, well, okay, it's another city. Maybe insignificant, maybe significant. But I read just about what that city was like and in some ways what it was described at. And it's described like this, which means a portion of abundance. And it really blessed me. Joshua, who knew the Lord, loved the Lord and followed him, he got this city, and it was a city of abundance. If it was the last time that I ever spoke this morning, I'd have to say to you, you have an incredible abundance in Christ. We've heard this morning about ears being unblocked, making our eyes see. And I sense that when Paul wrote this letter to those in Ephesus, I mean, it may not have clearly been a letter that was going to be circulated around all the churches, but it has now, hasn't it? We're reading it. Thousands of other churches, and I'm sure it went from Ephesus to around some other local ones. But one thing I think he wanted to kind of imprint and stamp on the church was to say, you have so much in Christ. Wonderful Lord. Saviour. Sorry, I'm pausing. Yesterday, I was with 200 or 300 others doing a park run around Birkenhead Park, and we were all at the start, all together. Excuse me once again. We were all at the start, lots of heads, some tall, some short, some with bright colours on, all ready to go in one direction. And then the noise came out, go. So I was with my eldest, Daniel, and we went. And we started to run with the other 200 or 300. And you do 3 laps, it's called a park run. It's great, I recommend it. Some people walk it, some people run, some people sprint, and they're really... One had a buggy, pushing a pram. One guy I think was in his 90s, but unbelievable. He was like this Caleb. Anyway, we started and we ran. And I had some headphones on and I was listening to some Hillsong. And I've got to be honest that when I was listening to it, and I thought about the wonderful church, the body, which is Ephesians, which is about, and we were all moving in this one direction. We were running the race, and all these heads bumping up and down, some going a different speed, some just absolutely ripping it, and they were going fast. Different ages, everything, but they were all going in one direction. And I was so blessed thinking, I'm in the church. And this is embarrassing, but I listen to this music and it gets my... Not well, no. Ronnie's on fire this morning, I think. One Direction. Goodness. We were going in one direction. And everyone moving and running, and you can hear people panting and they kind of... But I thought, it's a wonderful picture of the church, that we're going in this one direction. And even this morning, I know we're not running, we're all sat and we're concentrating. But there is a sense in Kipwith that we're going in one direction. We're wonderfully the Lord's inheritance. He's mine. And as the music was just going, just to try and keep me, I was so taken by the picture of being in the Lord's church. My arms stuck. I had to go. But they were just wanting to come up and, oh Lord, this isn't a park run in Birkenhead. You know that when you read these things, it will challenge you. If you're feeling a little bit down or a little bit, you're not sure what's going on, people say read the Psalms and it will cheer you up. Or read Ephesians chapter 1, 2 and 3. Tells you all what you have in Christ. But one of the keys, or the guarantee, and I looked up the guarantee of the Holy Spirit, is this down payment already. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Wonderful Lord. Helper. Promise. One of the main functions of it is to see Christ. Reveals Christ to me all the time. When we bought this camera, Canon camera, took it out in the lovely Devonian woods and kind of all green everywhere. And I remember getting to practice with this camera, the focus, and I had different settings on it. And one of the things that really, again, everyday things speak to me, I'm not apologising for it, the Lord does that, doesn't he? But as I was playing with this camera, there's this button where it just increases the focus. And one of the things that really spoke to me, the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit, is it brings this focus of Christ. He reveals Jesus more and more. And one of the big shames is something that I went through and went round in circles about the Holy Spirit. Had I received him? What does he do? I'm trying my most to get him and to... Oh, it took some man just to say to me, you have him, now go and believe. This man knew me. I went on my knees and I just thanked the Lord. If you don't have the wonderful Holy Spirit, where's the guarantee? Where's the guarantee? Wonderful Lord. He comes like a dove. Been thinking about how the dove came down, wasn't it? Wonderful picture of peace. The Holy Spirit described as a dove. He came down when the Lord was being baptized. And I keep thinking that we get so busy, so noisy, so distracted. How are you going to expect a dove to come in and enter into a life and to bring that seal and stamp to leave that wonderful impression of the Lord Jesus? Precious Lord, are you this morning on the same direction as those runners yesterday? Whilst we were running yesterday, there were others, walkers, walking the opposite direction, looking on, thinking, why would you do that so early in the morning, looking so tired? There will be people on your walk that will look upon you, try and distract you. I had it in college. I had it even from some friends, and they will distract you. They will stop you. Keep moving on. The second half of Ephesians is all about walking with the Lord. Amazing. Comes out with all the practical things of what you have in Christ in the first three chapters. Amazing. But there will be distractions. And I often find that if you're a believer, a Christian, that some of the things and distractions can come with even in the body. Even a hurt. It can totally knock you. We must come again to the Lord. Offer ourselves to him. if you have a sat-nav, one of the things on our sat-nav, it says points of interest. Some it may say places of interest. One of the dangers is that along your walk or your run, there will be places of interest, points of interest that will so come and try and snare you. And I don't necessarily think it's just for, we often will say, the younger generation. It's not just the younger generation. It goes across the whole band. I can become quite stagnant maybe. Set in my ways. Just going along with traditions. But I don't find that in Christ. I find it's new. Refreshing. He's full of hope. If we didn't have hope in our times when we pray together, it would be hard. It would be hard graft. You know those Thursday nights? Cold. It's wet. A little bit dark in here. Maybe not so many people turned up. But you know the amazing thing is I always find there's hope in Christ. Makes us pray. Someone said earlier on about families. It gives us hope to pray for those in our families that don't know the Lord. Amen. We have to persevere. I just mentioned it on Thursday. I used Lee and Linda's illustration a few years ago of their kitchen. And I think they were getting some tiles up. They remember it. And there's this thing of you have to just keep chipping away. Chipping away to get the tiles up. It's hard work. But you know, as we persevere, the Lord comes in, gives us strength. Strength to keep chipping away. Gives us hope. I sometimes think we have to just endure until nothing happens. But I don't see that in Scripture. I think we persevere knowing that the Lord is in it. That at the end of the days, He will come and fill all in all. Wonderful Lord. Are you in the body? Are you doing your share? Paul says it in Ephesians, and I can't find out the actual specific verse, but he says, for growth to be in the body, they all do their share. Isn't that right? Do we all do our share? One thing you notice when you're running around three laps of Birkenhead Park, you have to do something. Faith without works is dead, isn't it? But I keep thinking that the Lord, He gives that faith and He also wants us to action. Works. Caleb did, didn't he? Joshua did. I've missed out some big topics like predestination. I think that's for another time, isn't it? Because I don't fully... But actually, I'm not scared of it. There's big topics in this that I... In some ways, you grapple with them. Being chosen... Dave mentioned it the other morning about the gave the illustration of the door, wasn't it? On one side it says called. On the other side, as he turned round, it says chosen. That really helped me. Huge topics. But I know I'm chosen. It's wonderful. Why? Totally don't deserve it. Wonderful, Lord. Do you want to go on this morning? Can I be bold and say, will I see you next Saturday at the park run at Birkenhead? You don't have to answer that one. But I'm giving you that picture of... Work party. Yeah, forget the park run. The It's about works, okay? We come and do the... He's got a great inheritance for us. But we have to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. And I want to go in the direction of the church, the body here. Always looking forward. Christ at the centre. Not running just for the sake of running. Knowing that the Lord is within me and He wants me to move. There is no movement if you don't move. Does that make sense? But it's true, isn't it? He wants us to take that. Caleb saw that mountain range. And he still had work to do. There were still people there. So he took the steps and he said, I followed you wholly, through and through, 40 years, oh, you know the maths, but he was just, precious Lord, I am, I know it's a bit early, it's 12:15, but I've asked a couple people if they would just sing a song, and it's linked with this, obviously. I just thought if they were to come up now and sing the song, I... May the Lord find a response in our hearts. Precious Lord.